Number 19B.
You come here to that terrific insight, which I always liked when John Dolly for the first time pointed out this law, not in relation here, because he never explained the Christianity order, really. He just said what it is, finished, and said, go home and study it. But he said, so often he said, if you touch an idea, you touch the infinite one. Can you see, that's Christianity. It's leading back an idea to God at the point of soul, saying, if you touch an idea, you touch the infinite one. It is identical. And therefore, he would go on saying what actually here is under consideration, that he would say the substance, or say, for instance, the intelligence of an idea is the intelligence of the infinite one. The substance of an idea is the substance of what? Of the infinite one. Can you see? Takes the quality of an idea and defines it through its identity principle and says it's the same qualitatively as the synonymous term. So this is a terrific point to define to us our universe. See, up to this point, what have we done? We have only defined that whole universe with infinite phenomena is governed by one principle. Then we have said, but is that principle of the nature of matter or of psyche or of mentality or of what? No, it is a universe of mind. It's a universe of all ideas, an ideational universe, not the material universe. So you had to say, oh yes, that's wonderful. It's a universe of ideas, but we do not know yet what an idea actually is. We only say it. The universe is mental, and is an idea. So soul comes and says, now I give away my secret. I tell you that the intelligence of an idea is identical with the intelligence of God, that the substance of an idea is the same as the substance of God, that the unchangeability of an idea is the unchangeability of the infinite one, that the spiritual power of an idea, I'm a principle, that the spiritual power of an idea is the spiritual power of the infinite one. Can you see, always tracing back to its origin, that the eternality of an idea is the eternality of the infinite one, that the consciousness of an idea is the consciousness of the infinite one, that the perfection of an idea is the perfection of the infinite one. So I have taken this very point here of soul, see, and always have shown it as being identical with its origin, tracing it back to its origin. Now, can you see how that universe begins to expand, that our view of the universe becomes quite terrific already at this point, that you see, oh, I have not to do with the material universe, I have to do with an ideational universe. And that ideational universe has all the qualities of God, like intelligence, substance, unchangeability, spiritual power, life, consciousness, perfection, but they don't have those ideas, have just those qualities in a little way. Because they themselves don't have that quality out of themselves. They have it from their origin, and the origin is the infinite one. Do you feel what the tremendous universe opens up? A universe of ideas backed up by God. That's what we had before, man equipped by God. This is at this point. Huh? What was that statement? I had it somewhere. Oh, yes. Yes, she said, this understanding of man's power, when he is equipped by God, that has sadly disappeared from Christian history. For centuries it has been laid dormant, a lost element of Christianity. That what I have been showing here as true Christianity, man equipped by God, was lost to Christianity over 2,000 years. And she brought it back again, huh, and said, I began to see something terrific, that we have a universe of ideas, and all is mental. But not only mental, it's not only ideas. I see that ideas have not a limited quality, that they are not just a bit of God, but that each quality of an idea is the quality of God, of the Infinite One. And we can sense somehow what the bigness of the universe begins to appear when we see this Christianity order. Isn't that so? But even then, we can't quite make a full stop. So we have brought it back to the Infinite One in the way of qualities. We say, yeah, isn't there something more to it? Are these identities equipped with the Infinite One? Are they isolated ideas in the universe? Just one idea sitting next to the other one? Or do they blend? If they will blend, it will really, get even a higher potentiality of it. Because then we see that an idea which is backed up by the Infinite One is even blending or reflecting every other idea backed up by the Infinite One. Can you see how we reason? We reason always horizontally and vertically at the same time. It's always the full stop and the comma at the same time. Can you get what I mean? So the full stop is that vertical sense of bringing the idea back to the Infinite One, and all the qualities of an idea being back to the Infinite One, and now it must flow and get it horizontally much more and say, but each idea with this Infinite One hanging there on the Infinite One, they blend. And so they can you say, potentialize? No, you can't say that. Huh? You get the
maximize, do you mean?
It's a nice, huh?
Maximize
it, because then not one stands alone, but each one that is one with the Infinite is at the same time connected or reflected or blended with every other idea, which again is the Infinite One. So you get really infinity multiplied by infinity, so to say. So at the tone of spirit, see, we get the reflection that each idea reflects every other idea. That's the universe. In that box, perhaps we can put there, each idea reflects every other idea. Oh, yes, we did. At the box of soul, we said each idea is identified with its principle. And in spirit, each idea reflects every other idea. Yes? So you have even the bigger universe, yes?
Then could you say compounding their individual potentialities?
Yes, yes.
That idea that they all go back to God, so they all bring that little power with them as they combine themselves.
Yeah. What expression did you use?
Because
compound.
Compounding their individual potentialities.
Potentialities, you see. Yeah. We would call it in German a potenzieren. Huh? I have always difficulty in the mathematics to find the mathematical term for potenzieren. I think you. What do you say when you have a two, and up there a three, say.
Power.
A power of. Huh?
The third power.
Yes. The third power. See? So what you do here is that you have infinity, and up there also infinity. You have the power of infinity. Yeah. But you feel what it means. Huh? It is as if one would start very gentle with principle and say, there is one principle behind the whole universe. Then you broaden it out and say, but that universe is a universe of ideas, huh? Then you broaden it up and say, but each one of those ideas have the potentiality of the infinite. Huh? Each one of them has the potentiality of the infinite. So even bigger. And then you come and say, each one of those ideas with the infinite potentiality blend with each other and therefore multiply that potentiality, you get a terrific sense of the universe of God. Huh? Quite terrific.
It's the word that maybe you think acquires exponential.
Perhaps exponential growth. That happens, yes, in that order, yes. So it is an exponential growth of, or a widening up of the universe. Yeah. Now, we are talking a lot about that we must get the feel of these orders. Now, up to this point, I tried perhaps to reason it out logically. But then again, I think it is the work of each individual student to sit back and think it out for himself, always over again. Even if you feel, I use the same terms at the beginning, I think within the same order at the beginning, still do it. Because little by little, it gives one a terrific new feel of universe, of a realm. Can you now see the difference between the Christ order? The Christ order, you had a sense of a terrific potential power waiting, just waiting to that at the doors, the gates are open, and the water can fall down and precipitate itself on the situation. It's very different than here now, where you have a spiritual feel of an opening up and getting wider and wider of a universe.
It's like a great lake at the bottom of the fall, isn't it?
At the bottom of a?
Of the fall. There's a great lake.
Yeah, a great lake. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. And naturally, this is a sense from the absolute standpoint, as we should reason when we want to build up our true universe. All right? I think at that point, we have reached some kind of a climax, because now we ask ourselves a completely different question and say, now we have that terrific universe where each idea reflects each other idea and each one has the potentialities of the infinite one. So what? Or for what? At that moment we only have some kind of an experience. Expanded sense of the universe. We are asking now, what's the good of it? And when we ask what's the good of it, we ask for the essence of being, namely life, truth, and love. They are always the essence. You remember, in if you consider the word order, mind, spirit, soul, they have a common denominator, namely to depict the fundamental nature of being. And you have, after principle, life, truth, and love, which give us the essence of that being, the demonstration of that being, really the main thing, really, of that being. Why should, what does that nature of mind, spirit, soul do to us? Says, well, that is that which gives life and truth and love, fulfillment. So we have, in that word order, always the middle pivotal point of principle, which says, I have two wings, the wings of understanding, the nature of God, mind, spirit, soul, and I have the wing of demonstration, life, truth, and love. Now here, we can see that the pivotal point of the Christianity order is spirit, because in spirit we get the climax of the nature of that Christianity. Spirit here is in the middle of the order. And at that middle it begins to break. It was a working, so to say, a working up. That's not quite true, but it's a clarifying up to the point of getting the biggest sense of the universe. And now we say, now what is it here for? What is it? Purpose, what is its destiny, why should we, what happens in that universe? And so we get here life, truth and love, but naturally the life of the idea, not the life of God. Naturally the truth of the idea, and not so much the truth of God. The love of the idea, not so much the love of God. Therefore we have here not God as Father, life, but as the fatherhood of ideas. Ideas reflecting now the fatherhood of God as the fatherhood of ideas. Because we can't go back anymore. At the point of spirit, we have seen that ideas reflect each other. So how does one idea reflect the other one? What does an idea do to the other one? What is that reflection? What is the purpose of one idea blending with the other one? Not just for nonsense, just for the sake of combination, but it must have a real essence behind it and says, yes, an idea reflects the other one for the sake of fathering it. An idea must father the other idea. At the point of truth, an idea must sonship every other idea. And at the point of love, an idea must mother every other idea. Only if idea fathers, if idea sonships, if idea mothers, we have Christianity. We leave here that point where we say, God fathers us, God sonships us, God mothers us. That's the word. That's not Christianity. In Christianity, what did he say? We go out from where? Not from God, from idea. Therefore, in the translated sense to the human, it is actually there where we say, what do we do to the universe? Apparently, in the human, we have to father the universe, we have to sonship the universe, we have to mother the universe, and these are the great qualities of Christianity. Isn't that what is asked for us, of us? That we, even as human beings, reflect really this universe of ideas and say, therefore, I look at the universe in an ideational way, and at the point of life, I look at the universe in an ideational way of fathering the universe. At the point of truth, I look at the universe really from the point of view of sonshipping the universe. At the point of love, of loving or mothering the universe. So can you see that here that the true divine qualities of Christianity are born? So that practically all those wonderful qualities which we subsumize under the term Christianity are brought out here as fathering, sonshipping, and mothering the universe. All these qualities can be subsumized under the three. And therefore we get the feeling quite definitely here that true Christianity is being born in us. But it isn't the Christianity that draws its power and its impetus from religious doctrines. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Here we draw it scientifically from a new universe, from an absolutely spiritual, metaphysical universe where we see first the theory of it again. Principle. Now here the theory is principle, mind, soul, spirit. That's the principle that lies behind the practical Christianity. It first shows us what kind of universe we have fundamentally. We have fundamentally a universe that is governed by one principle, that is fundamentally of the nature of ideas, only of ideas, mind, of a universe that where every idea is backed up by the infinite one, and where every idea reflects the other idea and does not stand alone. There is no competition there, there is no quarreling there, no warfare between them, that there is a reflection, one idea, the other ideas. If that is set in our consciousness, if that takes ground in our consciousness, then the practical consequences of it naturally is that we see that blending of ideas with ideas as life, fatherhood, as truth, sonship, as love, motherhood. If we don't do that, we break up our theory. Yes? Yeah? Is that Christianity? We naturally then afterwards can consider in more detail that fatherhood of idea, the sonship of idea, and the motherhood of idea, and can then together contemplate this a little bit more in details. But we don't have the time to start it, and we don't want to break it up in the middle of it. But the main thing is that we get the feel of a new universe. It's a new universe within us. Yes. Is there any question that you would like to ask? Yes?
Is there ever a word that we can substitute for the Father, Son, Mother in this symbolism?
Yes. Yes, there certainly is.
It's always bothered me.
Yes. Yes. It is actually a biblical symbolization that many people like because they somehow can feel something what the Father does, what the Son is, the heir, what Mother is, but we have to translate those qualities, have to translate those biblical terms into abstract terms, and we'll do that tomorrow. That's absolutely necessary. Yes. Yes. All right, then I think we stop here.